Welcome to the Communities of Practice session focusing on FIN, discussing our approach. My name is Nicole Fehrenbach. I am pitch hitting for Lynn Gibb-Scharf this afternoon. So please bear with me a little as this has been a relatively recent change. First of all, I wanted to say thank you for coming to the session and for showing some interest in what we have been talking about over the past couple days and the experiences that you all just had in participating in the launch of incorporating community of practice approach into FIN. So we're going to spend a little bit of time today talking about what that means and sharing with all of you some of the approaches we've developed and really listening to you for what you think of that. This is our first, we've heard you, we're putting this out there, but we need to hear back. Does this make any sense? Does it resonate with you? How might this work? I think we're going to discover that together as we work together over the next year and several years after that, building what this means for FIN. A couple of the presentations today that you're going to be hearing about are our overall program, how we want to support all of you as you form communities, whether within the current five or start thinking about some other community areas that you're very interested in. The relationship of the conceptual framework that we have for evaluation. You'll be hearing from Dr. Andrea Hegedus for that. Previous, I should introduce Mamie, who is our interim program manager at CDC, championing the community of practice program area. Following that, we've developed some resources. And again, these are our first show to all of you to see if they're going to be useful. We're looking for use and feedback about what they are. Melissa and Kara with the SRA International will be presenting on the resource kit. And finally, Dr. Janice Richards and Kina Hamilton, yes? Will you be presenting, co-presenting?
No.
Okay, so Dr. Janice Richards will be sharing some real-world experiences about a particular community of practice that has been developed over time, supported collaboratively from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the Public Health Informatics Institute, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So why this approach? Why are we all sitting in here? Why did the agenda for the conference change? For those who've been to, this is now our sixth, for those like me who've been coming for the previous five, it's been a pretty traditional approach to a conference. And this year, boy, is it different. We just spent an hour and a half together doing something outside of sessions of talking and listening to each other intentionally structuring an agenda to accommodate that kind of conversation. So why are we thinking about this? Well, if we look at what FIN is all about, it's about building capacity for public health to use and exchange information. It's about promoting the use of standards, defining functional and technical requirements. For those of you who've been in the field, those of you who've been working in this area for a while, you can't do that in isolation. It doesn't work. We've all tried it. We've all failed. Or we may have had some slight success here and there. But we've also found that when we work together, we shared and learned together about what requirements are out there, how we can contribute to those requirements from the beginning, which standards we want to adopt, we found our likelihood of success much increased. Furthermore, what we're looking at for FIN moving forward is how do we enhance what we're doing through the understanding of actual practice, so that knowledge sharing, that learning together, and enhancing the research. One thing I will also say about this definition is that this has been a definition that we've used. We started a process early this year, in calendar year 08, to begin exploring, because of feedback from all of you, about, well, does that FIN definition really resonate with what we think FIN is becoming? And so I opened it up to the community for all of us to think about, of we have formed an identity around FIN, and we're challenging that identity now. So maybe it's time for us to rethink what this definition is and how it becomes meaningful for us to be part of this FIN community. As many of you heard in the podcast, several of you, I know I've facilitated the FIN Open Conversations for the past 2 years, and I can say now, as switching gears, I had been on the consulting side, I'm now on the federal side, that we heard you. And you have told us for 2 years that building relationships is critical. There needs to be more open relationship. We need to become multi-directional in information sharing. That is part of what all this is about and why we want to explore this community of practice methodology. So as we start to think about what it means, notice what's at the top. We're not all gizmos and algorithms and cool tools, although we like them. But what makes those cool tools? How do those get applied? How does that become meaningful for public health? It becomes meaningful for public health with all of you, with the people. And so that is where we're really focusing now for redefining FIND. That's about people, it's about the processes and how we come together to do this work, how we come together to share knowledge, and the tools and infrastructure that we choose to use, choose to adopt, that becomes meaningful in advancing FIND. So without further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Mamie Mabry to talk about the program itself.
Thank you, Nicole. You're seeing evidence throughout the conference about the communities of practice approach for FIND. I have been involved with this since April of this year. Prior to that, I was the vocabulary and messaging program manager at CDC and was responsible for leading an effort around establishing a vocabulary community of practice for CDC and public health, and it has been fairly successful. And so I have some experience in that area, and when they started to think more seriously about kicking this approach off for FIND, I was very interested in being a part of this and leading this effort. So that's where I sit now, working with Nicole, working with Lynn Gibbs Scharf on managing this program for FIND. So what I'm going to do is describe a community of practice. You've seen some of that already at the conference. I'm going to describe the approach for FIND, and I'm going to identify some of the expected benefits. Let me tell you a story. When I started exploring this with Lynn and Nicole, I was reading a book called Three Cups of Tea. Has anybody in the out there read that book? Yes? No? All right. I was seeing some parallels between what this humanitarian was trying to do and what we were doing around building communities of practice for FIND. Greg Mortensen is a former trauma nurse and a mountain climber who stumbled into a rural village in Pakistan after he unsuccessfully made an attempt to climb the K2 mountain in Pakistan. He was amazed with how he was welcomed into the community and treated as a treasured guest. As he regained his strength in that village, he began to explore the village, and he was shocked to see the children out of doors at their daily studies, braving the cold to write their lessons in the dirt with sticks. He promised the people that he would work to help them build a school. As his story began to unfold, as I said, I saw parallels with his process and the process that we need to undertake together for establishing communities of practice for FIND. Mortensen was often frustrated with the endless cups of tea that were shared in the unhurried negotiations around building the school. But he learned from these humble villagers in their connected community that building relationships is the first crucial step in any project. His illiterate but wise mentor, Haji Ali, chief of the village, taught him how, over time, to share the first cup of tea as a stranger, the second cup of tea as a guest, and the third as a family member. That first school building experience taught Mortensen about really listening to the people who would be involved with the product or use the product, in this case a school. He involved his stakeholders at every stage in the planning, development, and production process, something you guys have asked for. He had to let go of some of his preconceived ideas about the process, the time frames, the outcomes. Success came when he truly collaborated with his end users. So you have seen, you're becoming familiar with this slide, And Dr. Etienne Winger, who's with us today, did probably a much better job than I can do today about describing what a community of practice is and the three components, the domain, the community, and the practice. Greg Mortensen gathered stakeholders together to clearly define his domain, that first step, that of educating children in Pakistan. Then he returned to the States to solicit financial support and build an extended community who shared his interest and passion, the second crucial characteristic, community. And then he worked with the community to develop a reusable process that is a practice around building schools. Finn perhaps has been too focused on the latter, the practice, that of building tools, and not focused enough around defining the domain and establishing a collaborative community. The communities of practice approach will enable us to well define those technical and functional areas key to Finn and engage communities more effectively. A community of practice benefits individual members, their organizations, and the broader domain in which they work. You, the Finn members, you will have access to continual learning, access to expertise that you may not be able to have access to outside of the Finn community setting. You'll have ability to network and identify with your peers. And then as Finn members experience some of those individual benefits, your organizations see benefits as well. Efficiency in the time and cost to retrieve information. Synergies across organizational units. The sum is greater than the individual parts. Reduced work redundancies, innovations, and increased opportunities for benchmarking. As a result of this, we expect that public health will see wider adoption of standards, support for key national initiatives, and linkages among geographically dispersed partners. As has been stated before by both Carla Denise Edwards and by Dr. Winger, communities of practice are not a new approach. The medieval guilds are an old example. Today's faith communities and even homeowners association are more contemporary examples of communities of practice. COPs have been used successfully in government and in the private sector. I've mentioned the public health vocabulary community of practice that gathered together again today to start working with messaging colleagues. We've seen success there around educating and collaborating around the use of terminology standards for data exchange. One of my favorites is the innovation out of a community of practice with the Federal Highway Administration, the Rumble Strip COP. Anybody heard of the Rumble Strip COP? Rumble strips are those, my colleagues there, rumble strips are the series of either indented or raised bumps on the side of the highway. They were used by one particular state, and a community of practice formed around how to implement these nationwide on the nation's highways to prevent runoff road crashes. Very, very successful. In a couple of years, they saw a 30 to 70% reduction in those runoff road crashes, a model that we could well emulate. How many people attended one of the community meetings this morning about 10:30? Okay, just about everyone. So this is our proposed structure. The Finn community, which will be composed of all of you, and individual communities of practice represented by the white circles around a functional and technical area key to Finn. At the bottom, you see the communities of practice program that is supporting this effort. We will support the communities of practice and the larger Finn community around communities of practice education and training. In a few minutes, you'll hear from Melissa and Kara talk about the online communities of practice resource kit that we have created to help folks within FIN who want to establish a community of practice plan, launch, evolve, and evaluate communities of practice for FIN. That's available on our website. It's www.cdc.gov/FIN/communities. And we've got some brochures that will have that website on it for you. So what we envision, as I've heard Dr. Winger refer so well, is a constellation of communities of practice. You'll see here the five communities of practice that launched today. And we're in an exploration process to see if those communities of practice are the right ones for FIN today. Perhaps there's some overlap between vocabulary and messaging and electronic laboratory reporting. We'll be working that out as we go forward. So you know that work in these communities today was about defining the domain, looking at what issues in the domain are important, and then tomorrow we'll be talking about next steps. We don't want the work to end here. We'll make sure that everything that went on in those community meetings is well documented, and you'll have access to provide feedback, respond to it, perhaps take a look at minutes from community meetings that you did not get to attend if you have more than one interest, and the work will go on. So Nicole touched on why the communities of practice approach is being leveraged for FIN. We are hoping for a more democratic approach. In the open conversations, you have asked to have a voice. We will work today, we work to make that happen. A more shared decision making, but also more shared ability for you to participate in the work. This new approach will ensure that all agencies and organizations within FIN have an equal place at the FIN table. So CDC will take its place alongside your public health department, some of the national organizations at the FIN table in this effort. These are some of the guiding principles around good governance or good guidance for communities of practice. Responsiveness at all levels. Seeking consensus whenever possible. And we know sometimes that may not be possible, but at least documenting your process and making that transparent and available to all. Working efficiently and effectively, providing opportunities for participation, depending on what your bandwidth is, where you're situated, what project you're working on. Your participation is really up to you. Transparency in that decision making and accountability for work assumed. Throughout the conference, you'll have opportunities to complete community assessments. Please take the time to fill that out. Hopefully you had a chance to do that in our plenary session this morning and also in one of the community's meetings that you attended. If you didn't do that today, please take an opportunity to do that when you return tomorrow. Those are very important for establishing a baseline of data that we can track over time to see how well we're doing with this program. These are some of the expected outcomes at the various levels. What is expected for the Public Health Information Network is that more partners will develop the capacity to meet FIN requirements and participate in FIN initiatives, and that standards and best practices required for information exchanged will increase, be more widely adopted, and be more widely disseminated. So let me end with this slide. Greg Mortensen had quite a few challenges along the way to his successes. He was kidnapped and held captive for 6 days in a volatile region of Afghanistan, not knowing why he was being held, but expecting the worst. Upon his release, he discovered that the elders in the village where his next school was to be built had detained him while they were running a background check of sorts. Mortensen learned that sometimes people approach a task in an unorthodox way, and sometimes not easily understandable way, but perhaps the result may be in the best interest of all. In another instance, he discovered that the money he had sent to several villages to purchase materials for his schools were reallocated for buying miles and miles of pipes to bring clean drinking water into the region. What the villages needed first was the clean drinking water that would ultimately cut the region's infant mortality rate in half. More children needed to survive before they could be educated. Mortensen was unaware of this basic need until he entered into face-to-face conversations with those people, something we're trying to do here at the Finn Conference. Hear what you have to say. Hear what your basic needs are. Mortensen would learn to develop a reusable process that he could modify along the way for each school that he built. Mortensen's passion, his persistence, and his letting go, as well as his willingness to learn and to teach, are traits that will serve us well as we work together to implement the Communities of Practice approach, and let me say explore the Communities of Practice approach for Finn. Thank you.